Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. We're going to broaden our spectrum of what we understand about everyone. Today's message, Everyone's Around, is coming up in just a minute from Dr. Don Wilton. I invite you to spend some time with us. Perhaps this is your first time hearing Dr. Don preach, or maybe you've heard him over the last 25 years. Welcome. Either way, God is going to do something unique because of what God is going to do. It's God's Word that Dr. Don's going to be sharing, and this message on Everyone's Around applies to all of us, to everyone. We also want you to know that we're available for you, for everyone, at the other end of 866-899-WORD. You can call. Love to pray with you, pray for you, put you in contact with some great resources at 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don.
Did you know that when Jesus came to this earth to die upon a cross for you and me, that he empowered everyone, all people, every person who knows Christ, everybody, everyone, all of us, to be engaged in sharing and telling others about the good news of the gospel, how to be forgiven, how to know that you're going to heaven one day, how to become clean again, how to stand up when you've been hammered, when you're lying flat on your back, so to speak. And do you know that that message is for anyone? There are no exceptions. This is for everyone, so that everyone who knows can tell anyone who wants to listen. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how bad you think you are. Are you listening to me right now and you've done something in your life and you just wonder whether you're ever going to be able to get it together again? Well, I'm someone who knows the truth. I'm a Christian man. I'm a Christian man not because of anything that I've done. I promise you that. I'm just a sinner saved by God's grace. So I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Beg my pardon if I just called you a beggar, but you are. I am. When we come into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. That's what we're going to look at today. I've entitled this message, Everyone's Anyone. I want you to just think about that. Everyone's anyone. Now, in our study of the story as we go through the Bible, when I got to the chapter, the section that we're in our church-wide study together, in our life groups and so on, and I began to study this, I just want to tell you what happens to me, because I know that it happens to so many of you. So I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm saying to myself, now Lord, show me something. Please, give me a word. Help me to know what it is that we need to hear. My eyes began to focus not on Jesus. Now that's going to shock some of you. My eyes begin in this entire section about the beginning of Jesus' life and his ministry. This baby, Mary, did you know this whole wonderful story? My heart began to connect not with Jesus, but with John, who told us about Jesus. So this is about Jesus. But when I began to look at John, I began to see me and you. That's why I've entitled this message, Everyone's Anyone. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. I'm only going to read a few verses for you, but I want you to catch and to listen very carefully. Because before Jesus arrived to begin his earthly ministry. Now let's remember, he had already been born. He was growing up. We've looked at all of that. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Some of our favorite stories. Remember when Jesus got sidetracked as a boy and he disappeared? Anyone ever been in the mall and suddenly look around and I just see some parents immediately say, And the little chap is not there or the little girl is not there. Well, that's what happened. You know, Jesus went drifting off, and of course we know that great story. He actually found himself in the temple. And when his mom and dad found him, he turned to them and said, "Mom and Dad, don't you know that I need to be about the Father's business?" So it's just such a beautiful statement, isn't it? About the Father's business. Well, then Jesus began to grow in knowledge and admonition. During his teen years, he was the son of a carpenter, grew up in Nazareth. And before he arrived in his adulthood, so to speak, ready to commence his ministry, John the Baptist, who was related to Jesus because of Elizabeth who gave birth to him, and you can read all about the connections there, John announced this, said, "Hello, I got something I need to tell everybody." All right, let's just pick up John, Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, and it came to him in the wilderness. By the way, John, when this word came to him, guess where he was? Exactly where you and I have found ourselves and may well be. Anyone today in the wilderness? How many of us have been drifting around in the desert? Now, I know what deserts are, folks. I served in the desert as a tank commander. Like many folks here who were in Desert Storm and served in Iraq and Afghanistan, places like that, I was in Africa in the desert. I've spent a lot of time in the Kalahari and the Namib deserts, central, northern, southwest Africa. I spent 3 months one time in an armored column riding up the skeleton coast of Africa. Now, the conditions when I was there were a little different. If I had time today to talk to you about deserts, deserts are harsh places. And in a symbolical way, you know, this is where John was, just like where you are, where many of us are. Sometimes the desert that you're in means you don't have a job. That's your desert. Sometimes the desert you're in means that you're going through a crisis in your marriage. Sometimes the desert you're in is an addiction that you have. It's a battle. Sometimes the desert you're in is a struggle you're having with one of your children. Sometimes the desert you're in has to do with yourself. I mean, we could define this in any way. Now, we don't have a lot of details about him. I remember being in the desert. I remember those scorpions in particular. Do you know that in the deserts in Africa where I was, we had to have scorpion patrols? In fact, I was in D Squadron Desert Rats scorpion unit. On our tanks was the insignia of a scorpion. And if you've ever been around scorpions, I can tell you some stories about scorpions. And I've even seen what scorpions do. Some of you have been bitten by a scorpion. You're in a desert. And God's got a plan for you. And the Bible says that he was in the wilderness. And it was John in verse 3 who came out of the desert. There's a beautiful picture here. He came out of the desert and he went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And he spoke as it was foretold in the prophet Isaiah, the voice he was speaking about, the voice of one crying in the wilderness saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, because every valley shall be filled." Your valley will be filled by the one whose name is Jesus. That's what John was saying. You don't have to spend all your life in a valley. "And every mountain and hill shall be made low, And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all, watch this, all flesh will see the salvation of the Lord. This is not some people. There's not a whole section here on my right who were damned to hell before you were born. If you were pre-damned to hell before you were born, Jesus had absolutely no reason whatsoever to go to a cross if the decision was already made. Why? Why would God so love the world and say, you know what? I've already made my decision that this side is off to hell, this side is going to heaven, but just for fun's sake, I'm going to send my son Jesus to be beaten to a pulp, to cry out to me and say, Father, remove this cup. I'm just going to send Jesus to be crucified. And when John came, John made it very clear, quoting the prophets. And in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says that when Jesus is about to come back out of heaven down to earth for the second coming, when he comes for the final time, that we have an amalgamation, a fusion between the words of prophecy and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 19 and verses 9 and 10. Because verse 11, here comes Jesus. What I love about our church is that we are the church where everyone can invite anyone to come to encounter the living one. Here's what we believe. We believe everyone who knows Jesus, who has received forgiveness of sin, saved by the grace of God, who is a part of this fellowship, everyone, has a God-given charge and responsibility to invite anyone to come right here to this place, because it's here that you're going to hear and encounter the living one. Folks, really, that is what our church is. We're not here for some people and for others not. You got an earring, you're welcome. You're a practicing homosexual, you are welcome in this church. You've gone through a divorce, you're welcome in this church. You ride motorbikes, you're welcome in this church. You're a billionaire, you're welcome in this church. Double welcome. You wear a suit, you're welcome in this church. You wear jeans, you're welcome in this church. We don't have a dress code around you. How can you have a dress code and say anyone's welcome? We're the church where everyone can invite anyone. This is not a church for saints. It's a church for sinners. Where sinners, only through the grace of God, look to Jesus and through him become saints. Not in and of themselves, but because of what God does for us. Right? All right, let's look at this. So what did John the Baptist do? What did John the Baptist set in motion for us? I think, you know, John the Baptist, if you look at this with me, folks, John the Baptist started something, didn't he? Don't you love to start something? Like Al Gore, start the internet. Don't you love to start something? We all like to be right there at the beginning, whether we did or whether we didn't. I want to start a movement. I think John the Baptist was used by God to set the greatest thing that you and I can ever talk about in motion. What was it? Everybody. It was everyone's anyone. That's what he began. All right. John the Baptist, number one, set in motion the call of God for everyone to share the good news. Bible says, for example, if you go back into chapter 1 and verse 80, the Bible says the child grew, became strong in spirit. He was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. I think that John the Baptist set in motion the call of God for everyone to share the good news. If God could have used John the Baptist, surely he could use me. Surely he can use you. I mean, I want you to just think about this, folks. Do you not suppose that God, in his infinite wisdom, could have chosen someone who wasn't quite as smelly as John the Baptist? Let's be reasonable. This man came out of the desert. He was dressed in skins. He ate wild locusts and honey. He lived in the desert. I mean, he was a real ragamuffin. We can't even conceive what he must have looked like, even in his day and age. God used him. In our culture, we tend to look at people and we prejudge them and we say to them, how can God use that person? I think John the Baptist set in motion the call of God for everyone to share the good news. But number two, John the Baptist set in motion the call of God for anyone to receive the good news. Not for everyone to share the good news, but for anyone to receive the good news. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 3, for example, which I read to you, he went into all the region around Jordan. By the way, in January this past year, I baptized 70 people in the River Jordan at the place where they literally believe that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. It's a meeting place. You got Jordan here. You got the desert regions to the south. You've got the beautiful, fertile Jordan Rift Valley going out ahead of you that culminates in the Sea of Galilee. To your left, to your back, you're looking out across Israel, across the Judean wilderness, into, again, the fertile regions that cascade down into the area that we know as Tel Aviv and to the Mediterranean Sea. This was a meeting place. And you know who gathered in this meeting place? Anyone. They were all there. And if you want to break that down, folks, there were people there who were atheists. There were people there who were agnostics. There were people there who were bohemians. There were people there who were Essenes. There were people there who were legalists. There were people there who were Christ followers and disciples. There were seekers there. There were people there going through every walk of life. It was a grand picture of anyone. They all came. Let me tell you why anyone is welcome in this church. Because anyone needs to hear. We all need to know this gospel. John didn't mince his words. Folks, it would be an entirely different matter if I stood here as your pastor and I said, this person's welcome and this person's welcome and this person's welcome. But every time I stood in this pulpit, depending on who I see sitting out there, I change my theology and I change my tune and I start excusing sin. And I start saying, well, this doesn't matter and that doesn't matter. And I start contradicting and I start not sharing the gospel of Jesus. That's a different matter. I cannot be true to my Savior and stand before you and share with you that which is not from God, even when it's unpopular. Now, I can guarantee you I probably will never get elected to public office. Not that the deacons would allow me to run, I'm just telling you. I've told many of you many times that the one thing missing in my life is I think I need to be elected President of the United States. For one reason, I want to go fishing at Camp David. I think that's why they have this expo next Saturday, just to help me get over this little itch that I need to scratch. Folks, this is not popular. Anyone want to tell me that John the Baptist was popular? By the way, do you know how he ended up with his head on a platter? Everyone needs to be prepared to end up with your head on a platter. But don't stop inviting anyone to hear. I fully expect in the next 10 years, in the current climate in the United States, that churches like ours are going to lose some significant people. Now, we're not going to call a meeting and get into an absolute panic over that. It's going to happen. Of course, I haven't talked about the thousands who are going to come because I believe at heart's level, The people, the American people, want to know the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. John the Baptist spoke truth. It was about Jesus. So what did he set in motion? He set in motion the call of God for everyone to share the good news. He set in motion the call of God for anyone to receive the good news. And he set in motion, number three, the call of God through the living one who was the good news. Now, I'm going to run that by again, folks. This is everyone's anyone. What is this? John the Baptist set in motion three things. The call of God for everyone, all of us, to share the good news. Jesus said, go into all the world, all of you. He set in motion the call of God for anyone to receive. I invite anyone to listen, to pay attention, to hear this incredible story. Your life depends on it. You'll never be the same because of it. I invite you, anyone, rich, poor, famous, infamous, man, woman, boy, girl, up or down, I invite anyone who's willing to listen, please just listen. Listen to this good news. It's life-changing. It's incredible. This is fantastic. Best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know where I'd be without this Jesus. And number three, he set in motion the call of God through the living one who was the good news. That's what he tells us from verse 4 through 6 that I read to you. He said, make straight these paths because the one who is coming is the Redeemer. He's the one. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And so it is that when we unpack this together, the call, the message of Jesus, the message of Jesus that he was talking about was very simple. It was the call to repent through Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. It was the call of Jesus Christ to be baptized in Jesus for the witness of eternal life. And the message of Jesus was the call to live in Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the message of Jesus. That's what John was talking about. It was a threefold message, a threefold call that Jesus gave to who? Anyone who would listen. All people. Gather. What? Repent through Jesus. Because when you repent, you'll be forgiven. And you know, when you get to that point and you begin to march through Jesus, what do we find him doing? Folks, what do we find Jesus doing? We find him encountering a Samaritan woman, for example. First of all, she was a Samaritan. By the way, did you know that Samaritans hated each other in their own community? They hated the Jews, and the Jews hated them. They were the scourge as much as the Crimean Russians hate the Ukrainian Russians. They were militant about it. You didn't have anything to do with a Samaritan. Come to church. Come to church. Sit. Are you kidding me? That person coming to my church? What? That's utterly preposterous. To make matters worse, when Jesus encountered her, what did we discover? She'd been married how many times? Five times. Oh, by the way, I didn't even get onto the fact the man that she was living with at the time she met Jesus, they weren't married. If you're living with someone right now, Jesus says it's wrong. Come and hear what he has to say. I'll share with you what Jesus said. I'll show how you can turn something like that into something wonderful and something great. That's what happened to her. And what happened in the final analysis, all the Samaritan people gathered around. And they all began to say, man, listen, this is what she told me. And then they said, wait a minute, it's not about what she said about this Jesus who gave her something to drink and changed her life. What did they say? All the Samaritans said, number one, we heard the good news. And number two, we ourselves now know. Oh yeah, we heard, we know, The answer in America to the racial problems that we have is this Jesus. The answer to the marriage problems we have is this Jesus. The answer to our moral crises is this Jesus. The answer to our financial struggles is this Jesus. The answer to our dilemmas is this Jesus. The answer to every question we have is this Jesus. John came and said, listen, I'm just one of those everyone's. Anyone out there listening? I got good news for you. Your life will never be the same again. Today, as we meet in the presence of the Lord together, I invite you to come. Lay your life before Him. Give your life to Christ. Surrender your life. May I say this to you? Consider Jesus. Put Him on the front burner. Do something about this. Because He loves you. He loves you. Don't spend your whole life searching for truth when we know the truth. He'll deliver you from your addiction. He'll set your captive heart free. He'll write a new song upon your heart. He'll change your whole perspective. He'll give you a love for all people that you never thought you had. He'll wipe away every tear. He'll give you strength for the journey. He'll help you to face that surgery. I mean, He does everything. John came right there into that region, right at the meeting point. And they all came. They were all there. And he said, here he comes. You know, one of them even turned to him and said to him, are you Elijah? Are you, he said, are you kidding me? You see, folks, I love being your pastor. What a privilege God gave to me when He called me to come to a place like this. But when it comes to Jesus, gosh, man, I'm not even worthy to tie His shoelaces. Who am I in His presence? So who are you? Who are we? And when we put our trust in Him, He becomes everything to me. He just becomes everything. Would you give your life to Christ? Would you turn your heart over to Him? Would you be changed by Him? Would you live for Him? Would you surrender to Him?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
The number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org.